Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
I don't like you.
My friend doesn't like you either.
It's a nice stick that you're taking off of your belt there. What are you going to do with that?
Was that John's arm hitting the ground?
I think he just hit the floor, yes.
Yes, okay.
That's me putting the bottle down.
Yes, it's a big bottle.
So we must be talking about Star Wars.
Is that what we're talking about? I've heard of this War of Stars of which you speak.
Yes, starring the young Luke Sky Starkiller.
Yeah,
I should watch that sometime.
Yeah. So
there's more than one of those movies out now.
Yes, and soon there will be a seventh.
That's crazy.
Actually, isn't it technically the eighth movie?
Technically, it's the eighth because there was the Clone Wars movie.
Yes.
And there's a whole array of TV show episodes that fit in there somewhere.
How does the Christmas special fit in?
I was just thinking that myself. I'm not sure how it's Return of the Jedi?
It doesn't fit in because it doesn't exist.
And what about the Ewoks cartoon from the 80s?
That doesn't exist either.
Is it the Return to Endor?
Right.
There were some Ewoks made for TV movies.
There was the Droids cartoon.
There was
strangely enough, all of those have been reviewed by the Nostalgia Critic. Who then went to therapy.
I can appreciate that.
Yes. But we're going to talk specifically episode 7. Because not only did we just get the first official poster, we got the official trailer, and there are so many rumors about this movie. I think, you know, we need to address these guys and inform the people that they might be right or wrong.
and inform the people how... this is clear evidence that the Star Wars universe is against us, you know, white men, because we are evil. And
man. Are we going to start with that one? Okay.
No, I just to interject here and completely derail everything, I have something to say.
Uh-oh.
Jeb Bush hates super people.
What?
Tell us something surprising.
Jeb Bush, did you hear what he said about Supergirl?
He said what I was
saying. No, I didn't hear what he said about Supergirl. Oh, I heard that part.
Yeah.
The first lead female lead actor superhero since Linda Carter, and all he has to say about it is, she's hot. Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know what?
Okay. He's definitely furthering our agenda in all the right ways.
It just shows... Yes. It just shows he doesn't have any geek cred. I mean, if that was two guys in a bar and somebody said to him, oh, you watch any of the superhero stuff? You know, that's like a jock type answer. Oh, the Supergirl's hot. You know, so, I mean,
I think modern day jocks are more well informed than he is.
Yeah, ever since the geeks started to take over in the, you know, the late 80s.
So anyway, we're not here to talk about politics or Supergirl or Jeb Bush or...
Well, we are. We're here to talk about galactic politics.
Well, that's true. We have a lot of things.
That's what the Star Wars movies are all about.
No, no. It's galactic politics. No, Ben. And
trade negotiations.
No trade negotiations. No.
Well, but Palpatine...
Bad podcast member.
Palpatine took care of all that. He took over the Senate. He got rid of all the bickering. He turned it into an empire. I mean, come on. The poor guy. He was just trying to bring peace to the galaxy.
It was work.
No, but even if you disagree with how the prequel episodes dealt with those things, episodes 4, 5, and 6 were still really about politics. It was civil war in the galaxy.
This is true.
Yes, but their politics involved a lightsaber and a blaster, not a bunch of people sitting around arguing. And then a couple of cameos from E.T.
So anyway, what let's get back to what Ben was alluding to in the beginning there. So there was a couple. It turned out to be a hoax, but it brought a lot of weird people out of the woodwork. That
brought a lot of idiots out of the woodworks. Yeah.
But yeah, they started. Yeah, so, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so to frame it, there was a this whole hashtag movement to basically decry the new Star Wars as taking this antithetical turn away from the canon by posing all of the all of the heroes being of different ethnicities and or female, and all of the villains being white men, and this was this whole reverse racism agenda that the Force Awakens is promoting, and which is pretty ridiculous, being that it's not as if this Finn character is the first black character in these movies. There were a handful in the original and in the prequel series. And it all turned out to be a hoax by 4chan to try to just incite people. Which it was successful, but it also brought out supporters, which was really just sad.
Yes. Oh, yeah. If you, what was that? It was like hashtag ban Star Wars. If you actually look that up on Twitter, you'll see some sad tweets from people that are just like, yes. Really? Haven't we moved?
Yeah, most from IP addresses in Alabama and Mississippi.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, the haters of the movement were much more voluminous? than the followers.
Yes. And we
voluminous. Just, yes.
And thanks to John, we just lost all our listeners in Alabama and Mississippi.
Yes. We love our listeners in Alabama, Mississippi, unless they think that, and then why would they be listening to us anyway? I sincerely think you can't be a true geek and think like that. There's too much cognitive dissonance with that. You can't be hopeful and take science fiction and fantasy and enjoy that and have the point of view that, you know, spews that kind of crap. It doesn't work that way.
Well, to boil it really down, is geek culture is both accepting people and being a community, and to try to create separation within a geek community just doesn't make sense.
Thank you for artfully saying what I was trying to stumble over.
Yes. So if you're in Alabama, Mississippi, please keep listening. So
yes.
We'll find new ways
to and Kansas people,
though I have to give it to the
team from the band.
Oh, thank you.
I have to give it to the people over Fortran, because it was just like, if you wanted to get a rile out of people, just pick what's the biggest thing in pop culture right now and rally against it.
Turn it on its head.
Right.
Yep.
And they were successful.
That they were.
And how drunk do you plan to get tonight, John?
I'm missing the Supergirl premiere for this, damn it.
Until he forgets that's on right now.
Yeah. So, but on this track, I do already have my tickets for the premiere of Star Wars.
So you're going to see it
December 17th, 8 p.m.
So you're going to see it in the IMAX
3D. Nice. The IMAX 3D theater was sold out through like Sunday, and I didn't want to wait that long. So all the midnight showings were sold out. Everything was sold out till 8 o'clock Thursday night. So I got 6 tickets for Thursday night in the real 3D version at 8 o'clock.
Mm.
I'm not the only one too. I have a lot of my friends around here have got tickets too. What's that?
You have 5 other guests to accompany you?
Well, no, I put out an ad. I put out an ad and hopefully I'll fill the other 5 seats.
Good job.
Yes, and not like he asked.
Like rent.
It's not like he asked his co-hosts if they wanted to join him. You know, I mean,
do you want to come all the way from Philly? If you want to come all the way from Philly, I'm already taken off. Half the pod at work is going to be out that Thursday or Friday. So if you want to come all the way out here, that's fine. We'll have a sleepover. Yay!
Yeah, but you'll make me sleep in the barn with the horses.
Well, that's better than where I have Ben sleep, but it's okay.
I don't have my tickets yet, but I will soon. That is something, you know, of course, once they released the trailer, the geeks crashed the internet, with free sales. And, you know, they're saying it's Obviously, it was a record. The record originally was set by one of those Hunger Games movies, and this beat the record eight times over. So,
which is crazy.
But I haven't even bought my tickets yet.
Yes. So all those critics, there were critics who were saying, this is something I was going to bring up, is there were critics who were saying that, movies released in December don't do well, which I think is a bunch of BS because all of the Lord of the Rings movies were released in December, and so were a lot of the Harry Potter movies. But
and so were all the Harry Potter movies too. Yeah,
right. But I think this movie will be the first movie to make $1 billion. Within the first week.
No, I think it'll make It might make $1 billion before it even opens.
We'll see. They're projecting. They are projecting. I want to say opening weekend. 680 million worldwide, and they might make it. And that would be record breaking.
It's too bad that they can't. It's too bad that they can't count scalpers in with that, because I've already heard rumors around where I am that if you want to go to a midnight showing, you can go there and there will be people selling tickets for like $500 a pop.
Well, they're counted because they bought tickets,
right?
Well,
yeah, but then but then they're selling the tickets for like five. It's gonna be crazy. It's a Taylor Swift concert over again.
But they're not making that money, so they can't really count that any differently.
Right. They're not giving the money back to Disney.
Right. These are not generous, heartfelt scalpers who really want Disney to make as much as they can off of this movie.
Right.
They're opportunistic middlemen.
Also known as Ticketron, but
yes. All right. So that trailer.
So am I, just a question, the only one who happened to catch this trailer during Monday Night Football without actually having been there to watch the trailer? Like, I was legitimately just watching Monday Night Football and happened to catch the premiere.
Were you watching it for the articles?
Wait a minute.
I don't understand.
You were watching Monday Night Football? Whoa.
I was. It was the Eagles game, and they were actually doing well.
No, but you were watching Monday Night Football.
I was watching Monday Night Football.
You were programming while you're doing that, right? That was one of those things where the TV just happened to be tuned to the channel, and you were there with your laptop, right? It's just don't destroy our view of you, man.
To watch the Eagles. I can appreciate sports.
See, they've been doing so bad, I didn't want to watch the game. I actually just kept watching online to see when it was halftime, and then went on to check the trailer. But yeah, I didn't. Yes, but they did win the game, didn't they?
They did. They did. Yeah. They played well. All right. One
and,
time.
And there's our sports news for the year. Now back onto the trailer again. So I played a game. When I saw the trailer, I didn't see it during there, but I saw it the next night. And, I had to take a shot every time. It made me scream like a little girl, and I was completely smashed by the end.
And, I watched it several times, as we all probably did. And I watched it, at least twice on my own. I watched it the one time. Actually, I watched it twice when it was on during Monday Night Football. I watched the whole thing. I rewound it and watched it again. And then I watched it on YouTube the next day, showed it to my kids when I got home from work. And then later in the evening, I showed it to my wife. And between there was, I found a shot-by-shot breakdown and read all sorts of goodies about it as well. And it wasn't until the time I watched it sitting with my wife. And I think the main difference is I was actually listening to the music more than I was paying attention to some of the visuals, like really absorbing the music. I came near tears. At a certain point in the trailer, and it was weird because I actually read someone else say the same thing about the same point in the trailer at a different point in the day, and I didn't get it when I read it. It's like, that's a weird place to start crying about it. But when I was listening to the music, totally got it, because the one thing they did, and it was like the scene where the Millennium Falcon is flying and there's two X-Wings chasing it between this wreckage. Yes. And they're playing some of the original score music during that scene that I don't think they've used at all in any of the prequels. Like, this goes back to original Star Wars trilogy. This is the last time we've heard this music, and it had that impact and that import that hasn't been there in a long time, and it was moving.
You know what got me? You're watching the trailer, and Billy Lord, who plays Daisy Ridley. Yes. She comes up, and she's sitting there fiddling with something, and you got the shot of the spacecraft pulling up into the atmosphere, and the look she mm-hmm. has on her face when
that,
she sees
that longing.
Now there's the entire difference between episodes 1, 2, and 3 and what hopefully is going to be what we're seeing here. The other ones, yeah, okay, it was, you know, trade negotiations and different planets and everything, but it didn't have a sense of largeness about it, a sense of space, of not space, right. Space, but just of area, you know, like the world was larger and more interesting, and you wanted to be there, yeah. And go and start taking a look around, like playing Minecraft for the first time, you know. It's like discovering stuff, and the look on her face just made it feel like, mm-hmm. holy crap, there is adventure there.
Well, that whole part of the trailer, and I'm sure it's a good part of the beginning of the movie, is a call back to A New Hope with Luke.
Yes, when he was looking up, yeah.
Right, and he yeah. and feeling him similar, looking out at, yeah, looking out at the dual sunset and feeling stuck on the planet and wanting to go with his friends to Kashi Station and you know, go to the academy and all that stuff. And and that's one of the things now, and we'll get into this a little bit too. But it's definitely, you know, JJ, you can tell JJ Abrams was a fan of the original movies, and he's trying to recapture that magic, you know. So what were you going to say?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, and I agree with you, and I was also going to say that just it's an illustration of something that the episodes 1 through 3 lacked, is that while there were plenty of scenes that went wordlessly by, they didn't, none of them, I think, from those prequel episodes really captured and evoked emotions in a scene, yes. without words, the way that the original trilogy did at times, and the way that some of these scenes in this trailer do. Like there's that sense of longing feels palpable and doesn't need to be explained. It doesn't need to be set up for. It just is there, and it's palpable without anything else drawing it out. It's just by that, you know, short piece of a film and the musical score behind it, and the way the actor's face is portraying things is all that's necessary. And that, like I said, I can't think of a scene like that in episodes 1, 2, or 3.
But
then there's the scene of Han Solo and Han Solo and Leia, and if that doesn't get you, if you're just not a geek. I'm sorry, we're coming to take away your card if you did not like lose it at that point.
Right, and I actually have a lot to say about what they showed in this trailer with Han. Before I get to that, I did find it also interesting, the beginning of the trailer, which I kind of feel is maybe one of the opening scenes in the movie, where Daisy is fully, you know, got that mask on and she's fully covered up and she's spelunking.
You mean where she's fully Tusken Raider?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. She looks like a Tusken Raider and she's spelunking in what looks like maybe a crashed Star Destroyer. Looking for parts or scrap or whatever, and
salvaging stuff.
But what you had mentioned the score, and what struck me is the sparseness of the music in that scene, where it's just a few piano hits here and there, and it just made me like, I'm like sitting there going, that's something I don't think I've seen in Star Wars before, but it harks back to the sci-fi movies of the 70s and 80s, which I kind of feel like they did that on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's...
They're keeping it light.
Let's put it this way. At least they didn't replace Williams with Zimmer. So, you know, it's bound to be.
Only a fool would replace Williams with Zimmer. Come on.
Damn straight.
But yeah, so the Han Solo part, it's why I held off for a second. So it is one of the only things... Like, I think anyone who's in our age group looked at what he said there, and we were, like, moved to tears, okay?
Yeah.
for a lot of reasons.
Well, for one, it's an antithesis of things he said in the past.
Exactly.
Like, it shows his about face from, you know, over time, that the time has changed him significantly.
Right. Which, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, it's been 30 years since Return of the Jedi. As far as we know, he's been married to a Jedi for 30 years, as head of the rebellion or whatever, because we don't know the whole political situation yet.
Right.
But so, of course, his attitudes and his mindset is going to change. And that is something that people have criticized. I've seen videos online where people are, you know, overanalyzing this trailer like us.
And, oh, jeez.
And but the sad part is that all the people that are criticizing Han being different than the original trilogy are 20 something. So it's like,
yeah.
Well, you weren't around.
They don't understand personal growth.
Right, right.
And that's the thing. The whole point of stories is to have the whole point of the protagonist is to see them grow. And if he hadn't grown after 30 years, then it would probably have been Lucas directing at this point.
Right. If we came back into this with Han Solo, you know, hanging out in Mos Eisley cantina again, you know, pimping himself out to do, you know, whatever, you know, salvage runs and things like that, then yeah, there's definitely a show of lack of understanding of human nature and the way that people grow over time.
Yeah, but on the other hand, he'll still shoot first and he'll shoot you in the face.
Oh, he will.
Right, right. And it would have been kind of sad to see a 70-year-old Harrison Ford sitting in the cantina pimping himself out. That's the other issue. You can't get away with, you know, I mean, let's be completely honest. Harrison Ford today is not the Harrison Ford he was in 1977. And it's not just the character of Han Solo, it's the actor himself. So he's not going to get away with playing the roguish, good, charming guy. He has to be a mature person who is the person who's going to guide us through what's going on in the story, which is, I kind of feel that's what his role is in this movie. He's the guy who's going to kind of fill in the gaps of what's been going on for 30 years and everyone's side of everything.
Can you imagine him sitting in the cantina at 70 years old, just sitting there? In my day, we didn't have measures of speed. We took measures of distance and said we were parsecs and we would we didn't have measures of speed, but we were thankful.
Lucas will never live that down, will he?
No, he will not. No. Damn it!
You make a stupid mistake.
Neil deGrasse Tyson will come after him for that.
Yeah, I've heard justifications for that statement though. Like, I think there was someone at some point came up with this very convoluted justification that the Kessel Run is actually about. Like, there's something about it with use of hyperspace is difficult through it, that it actually is about the distance that you travel in regular space, not the time.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Screw it.
So everyone else has to do it in 40 parsecs, and he figured out how to do it in 20. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, if you get yourself one of those used Star Destroyers, or you could probably do it in 10 just by blasting your way through whatever black hole or planets were in your way. By that logic, get yourself a used Death Star.
So we'll just have to see how many parsecs he travels in The Force Awakens. And of course, we have our other main character. I think we learned a lot more about Finn in this trailer as well.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely, they definitely confirm he is a stormtrooper who looks like he deserts and joins up with the Alliance, and
he loses his way.
And then at some point finds out, oh, by the way, I'm a Jedi. So
yeah,
or maybe I he think just so, got, he got sick and tired of killing puppies. You know, I mean, it is. What are right, they officially saying that this is the Remnant? Are they kind of borrowing a little bit from the extended universe that they got rid of, or is this just
what?
A bunch of old Empire people that are reliving the good old days, like the clan.
So here's what I've read. What I've read of what's supposed to be the canon of this situation, and some of this is deduced by the in-canon Star Wars comics that are being released that lead up to, and as well as Battlefront, which is in canon as well, that lead up to this movie, is that so the Empire did fall. The rebels, you know, formed a new, whatever you call it, republic, and are the leading class, and have not created a, you know, like a stormtrooper type militia necessarily. They've left it as more of a confederacy type republic where there's independent leadership. But and they've pushed out, they've successfully pushed any Empire loyalists to the fringe. But this is what they are. So they're this First Order that we see is, you know, with Kylo Ren as a high ranking official too, is basically this fringe group that were loyal to the Emperor and to the Empire, who've gone to the outskirts, the outer rim of the galaxy, so to speak, are on a, have as one of their missions is basically collecting dark force artifacts, and you know, like such as Vader's helmet and his lightsaber and things like that, as well as you know, basically gaining numbers and strength to build an assault back against the Republic and retake planets as they can to take power again.
Right.
Well,
I've left you all speechless.
No. I didn't know if John was going to respond.
Did they get his cape too? Did he get his cape so they could put on the mask and the cape and pretend in, you know, when they were alone that they were Darth Vader and just walk around going, you know, because.
I get the impression, supposedly the helmet that Kylo Ren wears is an homage to Darth Vader's helmet, although it looks significantly different. That it is supposed to be paying homage to that.
Right. And when you think about it, logically, it makes sense. You can probably liken it to, you know, destroying a country and the fractions together form a terrorist cell, you know, to become a powerful terrorist group, maybe, you know. The whole thing is, in the original
movies, no one could relate to that in modern times.
Right. But also, that's what I was trying to do. But also in the movies, think about it. The main thing that the Rebel Alliance did was destroy their main weapon twice. So yeah.
And then kill their emperor. And their main enforcer.
Right. They did that, and of course, in the third movie. But in all honesty, it's not like look at any country. Look at the United States. If some crazy rebel alliance was to kill the president and the vice president, there, you know, we have things in place to have another person take over, you know. It's not like the government would just stop, you know. So it's not like the Empire could just stop because you destroyed one base and killed two people, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's part of what the comics and other media address to fill in some of those gaps. Like, there's actual story arcs that they've come up with that flesh out how the Alliance took back Coruscant and took back various planets that the Empire had strongholds in to reestablish things. But they don't reestablish the Jedi Order, and they don't reestablish the Stormtrooper Army as part of their ruling class.
Right.
So nobody's ordering themselves up another bunch of clones, I guess, I hope.
As far as we know, no.
Which is why, Finn be a stormtrooper.
I didn't know that was a character name.
Finn. Sorry, I was trying to remember his name. That's why Finn can be a stormtrooper, because these are now just people who are joining the army.
Right.
You know, they're not clones anymore. People
scripted into it from the fringes that they occupy. By the way, I had heard a rumor somewhere that Finn is actually a nickname he gets that isn't his real name, that's based on his stormtrooper designation, that like he's FN324 or something like that. And so the FN gets, turned into Finn as his sort of nickname.
Okay. That's interesting. So yes, I mean, and that's, you know, that's all we really know about these characters, again, from the little bit we've seen here and there. Yeah, like, and you know, we talked about Kylo Ren a couple times, who's played by Adam Driver. Then the one thing, of course, the official poster, somebody is not pictured. Mm-hmm. And in the official trailers, you only see this person's robotic hand.
From behind, yeah.
Touch his favorite droid. Wait, that doesn't sound
in a very, very longing manner.
More
romantic music to go with that.
And that would be the main protagonist from the original trilogy, our good friend Luke Skywalker, which has led to the internet rumor that won't stop, no matter what anyone from Marvel or Disney says. Disney or Lucasfilm says that Kylo Ren is Luke Skywalker. And
I think I've said that too, but just for fun. Who knows? I think he is pictured in the poster. He is the Star Killer that you see in the top right corner.
Oh, he's actually the giant starbase. Oh, okay.
Yes,
that's his face now. I'm gonna say it right here. If they make him evil, that's just some real crap right there. Because
I actually had a similar conversation today with someone else that it wouldn't make sense because he was directly challenged to join the dark side
several
times in the movies, and he resisted when directly provoked and challenged on the matter. So for him to go to turn that way with nobody influencing that decision just doesn't seem to fit with who Luke Skywalker is.
Well, it'd be the same problem that they had with the extended universe, where, you know, they pulled every soap opera trope known to man just to instigate some kind of conflict that they could base a book around. Well, so, you know, if they make him evil, it's like you said, it's not human nature. It would be a stupid thing to do.
Well, here's what I know about Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, is that, number one, I think this is an important thing to point out, boys and girls, is that he is going to be in episode 9.
And 8.
That's what I meant. Not 8. I meant, yeah. Not 9, I meant 8. And we know this because...
So he's going to be in 9. You heard it here
first.
He's
not going to be in 9?
Oh, I don't know if he's going to be in 9.
You're saying he's going to get killed in 8 and he's not going to be in 9?
Stop it! I said the wrong number. I don't know that. All I know is that they're filming.
You heard it here first. Luke Skywalker gets killed in episode 8.
You heard it here and nowhere else, damn it.
We know that they're filming episode 8, and he has been on set while they're filming episode 8. There was also a picture of Luke Skywalker, it was really Mark Hamill standing off side a set, dressed in his Jedi robes while they were filming, and he looks very Obi-Wan Kenobi-ish from the original trilogy. So nothing about... So
what they're not showing you is that somewhere in the past 20, 30 years between episodes 6 and 7, he grew a beard. But I was going to say, he'd gotten into some altercations where he has significant scar tissue leading away from his mouth on either side of his face.
Oh God, no! I was gonna say the only way they could make him evil is they let him laugh. Let him laugh, and we know which laugh I'm talking about.
Just stop right there. he's not putting dark makeup around his eyes and coloring the rest white, and dyeing his hair green. So, not for these movies.
So you think.
Look at Kylo Ren. Are you Batman?
And also, I mean, the other thing to point out, you know, with these Kylo Ren people is that that's Adam Driver's voice in the preview talking to the helmet of Darth Vader saying he wants to continue on his legacy. So
he's a little bit cray cray.
But Adam Driver is Kylo Ren. Let's leave it at that. You know, I mean.
So they also told us that Benedict Cumberbatch was not Khan.
Stop
repeatedly.
It. Stop it. Stop it. He wouldn't do that twice.
He put the lens flare in. You saw the lens flare.
He put a whole bunch of lens flares in this preview.
That son of a bitch.
So here are some of the rumors around the plot, and this is the other reason I kind of think that maybe some of these are true. I don't know if you guys have heard these yet or not. And, you know,
I've heard rumors, but
if these are true, these are spoilers. If they're not true, then don't worry about it. But apparently somewhere early on in the movie, they find Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, but not his green lightsaber, his blue lightsaber.
One, yeah.
Right, which was actually originally Darth Vader's lightsaber that was given to
Anakin.
Anakin, sorry. Yeah, it was Anakin's lightsaber that was given to or Obi-Wan took after he defeated him. And
given
then
to Luke by Obi-Wan.
Huh?
And he gave it to Luke, yeah.
Yeah, he gave it to Luke.
He lost it when he lost his hand in Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
It fell down through Bespin, down the shaft, and who knows where.
It got spit out, you know, hit the atmosphere, found its way to Tatooine, and, you know, this is how we found it here.
Well, we don't know where it's found. I mean, assuming Tatooine is a little bit of a stretch, but... Which again plays into the scene in the second preview that they put out, where you see Princess Leia. Well, you don't see her face, but you know it's her being handed that lightsaber. You know.
Yeah.
And so the rumor is that this prompts them to look for Luke, and apparently he's been missing. He's been in a self-exile for years because he had been growing more powerful. And he was afraid that he was going to be tempted into the dark side.
So well, you know, when your beard gets to a certain length,
mm-hmm.
as Ben could attest, you do feel the pull of the dark side a lot more.
I mean, Star Trek has well established that beards equal evil.
Yes.
So I think, and then I think part of the reason that they're prompted to look for him is because once, Finn maybe realizes he's has the power of the Force, I don't know, and they decide to go look for him, you know, and of course, their pilot is Han Solo, you know, as they go through the galaxy, searching for his old buddy Luke. So that's, you know, so the whole thing is that they, you know, he's not going to be, and I don't think he's going to be a lot in the movie a lot. And they're going to find him near the end of the movie. Now, the question is he good or evil when they find him? I don't know. But that also means that if Kylo Ren is in most of the movie, guess what? He's not Luke.
So you think.
So I think, yes.
Say what you want to say, Dave, and we'll humor you. But no, we'll see what. I think you're right. I don't think it makes sense for Kylo Ren to be Luke. It doesn't fit. But it'll be interesting how things play out. Because, yeah, both the lightsabers... in the nice little battle that they show at the very end of the trailer are not new. I mean, the one is Luke's, you know, Anakin / Luke's original. The other one is Darth Vader's modified.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Yeah,
with the cross guard.
Yeah. What's wrong with the cross guard?
Well, you know, the
they help my
mini
kids all every day so they don't get hit by cars.
No, you know, A cross guard is supposed to help protect your hand in a sword fight when you're using a sword. And since the most...
Right, if Luke had one, he wouldn't need a robot hand.
Right. The most common way in all of these movies to disarm a Jedi is to cut his hand off.
It makes sense. Disarm a Jedi, yes.
Ooh. So Luke lost his hand, right? And realized he needed a cross guard and created a lightsaber with a cross guard, and he is Kylo Ren.
He would be very protective of his hands by this point.
Yes.
Why he didn't put that in the green one, I don't know.
Exactly. Yes. So anyway, one of the other things I wanted to bring up real quick. Oh, pardon me. One of the people I don't think we've seen yet, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but we haven't seen Andy Serkis's character yet.
Well, he doesn't come in until they find the ring.
I think they've generally avoided a lot of the more puppetish or CG characters so far in the trailer. So I think there wouldn't have been. I think he's doing motion capture for his part.
Of course, right.
I don't think he ever. I think he's actually got a motion capture suit permanently adhered to his body by this point. Like, I don't think he. I think those little white balls are like sutured into his skin at this point, you know, by now. So it's the only thing he can do.
Right. And his character's name is Supreme Leader Snook. S-N-O-K-E. Is that
Snooki? Snooki? Snooki?
Supreme Leader Snooki.
From the Jersey part of the universe?
And it's Kylo Ren's master in the movie. So You know, which kind of leads itself, you know, apprentice, master, dark side. It doesn't explain Kylo Ren's backup band, but hopefully they'll get to that. They'll explain that in the movie.
He'll die quick then.
You think so?
Probably.
So here's something I want to address. There is something I would like to address, just to go to loop around. So we talked a bit about Rey. But we didn't really talk about the voiceover during her scenes. And the voiceover during her scene is there's one other character, Maz Kitana, saying, "Who are you?" And her answer is, "I'm no one." Mm-hmm. And that's somewhat mystery-inducing in of itself. Like, what exactly, who is she that she's hiding who she is in that line of questioning? Like, we don't know what her connection is to anyone. I mean, she could be a completely random and new character. Or she could be a child to one of the characters we know and love already.
Oh, she's the daughter of Han Solo and Leia.
You don't know that.
Well, let me.
I've got $20 on it at work.
I'm going to throw this out there. This is, and I'm kind of thinking that this is true. This is another rumor I read, rumor slash fan theory. That's been going around, and I kind of think, Daisy or Rey's character is Han and Princess Leia's daughter, and Kylo Ren is their son.
Now, how does that work?
Well, see, do you have any brothers or sisters, John?
Okay, wait, back up. No. How would they, why would they make one of them evil? Because that would be going right back down the lane of the extended universe, and that was just a bunch of crap.
Well, doesn't mean they have to parallel it that closely. I mean, what they're doing there is saying that basically, so say, for instance, these two are the kids of those people. Those people, we don't know what their relationship status is at this point in the series of things. They could have drifted apart. You know, in the 30 years that have passed since Return of the Jedi. So, and maybe in that, you know, their kids sort of drifted off in different directions as well.
One goes to a Daisy desert planet, the other becomes evil of the universe. Yeah, apart.
I think it's different than that. Like he could have initially just had been in the pursuit of knowing more about his own lineage. I mean, because Darth Vader, it would essentially be his grandfather. You know, Anakin Skywalker would be his grandfather, and he wants to know more and understand more about what he was about, and may not have gotten enough out of his parents to really know what to think of the matter. So went on his own pursuit of knowledge, got in, you know, in line with the wrong side of the crew of things, and, you know, with the stormtroopers and whatnot and their whole empire, whatever, new order. And that could have just been a downslide. You know, if he was their kid, he would potentially be a force wielder, and that could cause him to sort of be influenced by visions, by feelings and things like that, the same sort of things that Luke was susceptible to, the same sort of things that drove Anakin to the nth degree that he went to. It's not that far-fetched. I mean, that's the reason the Jedi Order existed, because they understood the danger and, allure of the dark side. And so they specifically trained everyone. They grabbed these people young and specifically trained them techniques to avoid any temptations in that direction.
I also want to throw this out there. If they're brother and sister, it would make sense if Kylo Ren is the older sibling and he, at a young age, got interested in his grandfather and started going down this dark path, and he becomes, you know, Kylo Ren. Because they've already established that Kylo Ren is not actually his name, it's his title, because he's the head of this group of dark Jedi called Ren, and Knights of Ren or something. So he goes down that dark path. So as worried parents, and it could be what split Han and Leia apart too. If they're not together, they decide, well, we got to do something with her so she doesn't become evil. You put her on Tatooine. Why Tatooine? And this is, again, this is fan speculation, but, you know, they explain that the Force isn't a life force. It It binds the universe together. It's in all living creatures and all living things, which is one of the reasons Yoda was on Dagobah, because it was a place teeming with all this life and all this energy in the Force. Tatooine is a dead desert planet. Not a lot grows there. There's not a lot.
So they put it there for the world's longest timeout?
Yes.
Right. No, but I have 2 points of contention with those theories, Dave. For one, she's not on Tatooine. She's on Jakku, which is a different desert world.
Oh,
another world where there's only one biome.
I thought there was only one desert world in their universe. Okay.
No, apparently there's multiple. And this one is Jakku, which is also the state of things there is also part of the Star Wars Battlefronts game. The Battle of Jakku is one of the campaigns in it. And illustrates how a lot of this wreckage gets there. But the other thing is that, from what I understand of the mythology with Yoda, is the reason that he goes to Dagobah is also because of that dark force cave that exudes a huge amount of dark force energy and basically mask his signature such that Vader or the Empire wouldn't find him there.
Okay, that makes sense. But again, it's still a planet that was teeming with
It is a very lush planet.
But a lot of force energy that would just mask him. But then again, why was Luke sent to Tatooine? Doesn't it seem like an obvious choice? I kind of feel it's the same kind of thing, is that, you know, because he wasn't being forced with he wasn't being as fed with as much energy. Maybe he wasn't as strong with the force while he was on Tatooine.
That same generally lifeless planet created an immaculate force birth. If you follow the entire canon of things.
Okay.
Well, that's when Lucas ruined stuff. I mean,
they said that in episode one. He had no father.
You're right. I don't know. Well, then again, maybe there's something about what's the name of this new planet? Jakku. Maybe there's something about Jakku specifically that suppresses her force ability.
Yes, it's called plot device. The planet, it's probably lousy with it.
Exactly. Thank you.
I'm not leaning towards her necessarily being a Jedi, though. I'm thinking she might actually not be force sensitive.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll have to see, because the question is the real question is, in the second trailer that was released, who is Luke talking to when he says, the force is strong in my family, blah, 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 blah. And he repeats all the lines. And then he says, and you have that power too, you know.
To Kylo Ren, obviously. It makes perfect sense now.
So, yeah. So, I mean, okay. Maybe Rey is or isn't. We don't know. But I do have a feeling.
I have a thought.
Kylo Ren is their son, at least.
Maybe we're looking at this all wrong. Maybe we find out that Finn is Leia's son with Lando.
Oh God!
I saw that meme already.
No.
I'm not ruling it out.
Maybe, but no. That would be wrong.
You don't know what happened after Jedi.
It exactly. would be wrong.
You don't know what happened after Jedi stays after Jedi. That doesn't quite work, does it?
No.
I wouldn't rule out that that's Lando's son, but no, not with Leia. No.
What happens in Cloud City stays in Cloud City.
Yeah.
So you're saying Lando and Luke had a son? I mean, this is advanced technology. These things could happen, but seems unlikely.
No, Lando and C-3PO. It was forbidden love, really.
So what happens in Cloud City stays in Cloud City.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to laugh at that a second time. You'll have to do better.
I'm trying to smooth over the technical difficulty.
Fair enough.
So
my question is C-3PO turning evil now that he has a red arm?
I think so. That's the one weird thing that
The droid equivalent to a goatee.
Right. Totally changing the subject here. Right. It's like all of a sudden C-3PO has a red arm. There is no real explanation. And I will say this too. Hold on again. Wait a minute. Everyone's talking about how Luke hasn't been in the previews. I don't think C-3PO has been in the previews either, has he?
I don't think he has, but they've had toys for him, and they've showed packaging that shows him where he has one red arm And both of his legs are gold, which throws me off a little bit because I don't remember when they fixed that. Like, he had one silver leg for at least the first episode or two.
Right, right. And of course, you know, the he's also on the poster, but yeah, like, I don't, yeah, yeah. Right, exactly. I guess so, you know, they got enough gold to fix his one leg.
One leg, but not
but,
as,
but then they lost his arm
in the meantime.
Like, well, they can't paint it gold. I don't...
You know what it is? The arm's a plasma cannon.
Yes.
This is but C-3PO unchained.
So,
right.
I don't know. I mean, I hope they...
Can R2 fly again?
I just hope they explain it. I don't want it to be like, all of a sudden he has a red arm and we're all supposed to just be like, oh, okay.
Just accept it.
Right, yeah. Just accept it as like, yeah, that just have something that happened in 30 years. Like, why?
Well, he's yeah. a pansy, but that red arm, you know, don't make that mad.
I don't know. I mean, unless it's something that happens in the movie, he loses his arm and they replace it, or is right. it something to mark the Republic droids or something? Like, he's a high-ranking droid.
So if you're a droid and are loyal to the Republic, you have to have at least one red appendage.
Yes. Yes.
By the way, I have to say, Chewbacca doesn't look like he's aged a day in the past.
So Wookiees are very long lived. Wookiees are very long lived, aren't they? They're like 300-400 years old.
Maybe. Yeah. Something like that. But he does have a bandage on his arm.
He does. And I still, for the life of me, don't know what's in that bandolier he wears all the time.
You know what the bandage from the arm is, right? That's from when they dropped a moon on him.
What?
Well, you know, from the extended universe, they dropped a moon on him. And, you know, he got a little hurt on his arm.
Jeez. Yeah, that was a weird... Well, let's see. Wait a minute. Chewbacca has a bandage on his arm. 3PO has a red arm.
Oh, no.
Hold on. There's something with arms in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Luke
I think they're honoring the Empire somehow.
I think they swapped arms.
Here's a question, too. With Luke and the one shot that we have of him putting his hand onto R2 longingly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he has... He has a hand that's more akin to Anakin's hand looking than his old robotic hand. Because his hand...
I will acknowledge that, but we will never speak of it again.
Wait, because, okay, yeah, in Jedi, it got shot and got damaged, but it still looked like a normal hand, and he just put the glove over it. And then you would assume, since they won the war, at some point he would have got it fixed. So why would he go back to a claw, metallic-looking hand? Like,
well, that's in case
there was something wrong with the...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's just in case they take Luke's hand away, and then, you know, they can... C-3PO can, like, shoot the other hand at him and give it back to him.
No.
Yeah. No, I think that it's just sort of maybe there's something. First of all, maybe there's something that went wrong with the hand in the story, intervening time between, and he had to replace it again and didn't really care as much about the form. So this is not necessarily the same hand that he replaced.
So you're saying his hand went bad?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it malfunctioned or got damaged.
Did you get the reference, John?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Evil Dead.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, then why doesn't he have a chainsaw there?
Because he's got lightsabers, dude. He's got one big lightsaber attachment.
Yeah, that's better than a chainsaw.
Maybe that's why he has
a chainsaw lightsaber.
Oh. Nope. Even better. The new robot hand has a hole in the palm where he shoots a lightsaber out, you know, instantly, and he can grip it when it comes out.
All right. So here's a question.
As long as they don't go Deadpool and have lightsabers shoot out of both of his wrists or something.
No, don't. So here's a question, because we've been at this for a while now.
You think?
Yes. So in the original, not the original, in episode one, they introduced a cool Sith Lord known as Darth Maul.
This meaning of cool that you speak of, I'm not familiar with.
he had a dual bladed lightsaber and he jumps around and he had a little motorbike, like, you know, he was a badass. But He gets chopped in half by Obi-Wan.
Right, because he's dumb. Because
he's what?
Because he's dumb.
So what I'm saying is they introduced, you know, a villain and killed him off. Do you think Kylo Ren will go that route, or do you think he'll stick around?
You think he'll be a one and done? I don't know. I don't think... See, I don't see current leadership as of that.
Yeah, it was a cheap thing to do. If we see
any characters get killed off in this movie, it's more going to be on the other side of the fence. I think it's going to be... We're going to see some of the original characters get killed, maybe. Whether it's, you know, one of the main three or someone else, you know, that they're bringing back. I don't think that they're going to have a one-and-done villain.
So you think they'll finally kill C-3PO?
Maybe. And there was much rejoicing.
Are you kidding me?
He gets a lightsaber to the head. Here's what happens. He gets a lightsaber to the head. Part of his head falls away and reveals Jar Jar's face underneath.
Ah! No! And then everyone goes, kill it! Kill it!
Yes.
Kill
it. And then we're all glad that he gets beheaded after that. So.
Okay. Well, and then I was going to say, so as everyone should know this by now, this is, you know, old news. In Empire Strikes Back, Harrison Ford had agreed to do Empire Strikes Back because he wanted to be killed in the movie. He didn't want to come back for Jedi. So originally he was supposed to die, not just get frozen in carbonite. But, you know, they talked him into coming back and the rest is history. Do you think he'll finally meet his maker in this movie?
I think it's a possibility. Like I said, I think that one of the original characters is going to die in this movie. I don't have anything to base that on other than I think cinematically, I think it makes sense that either Han or Leia might end up getting... making a sacrifice and end up getting killed in this movie.
If they do, it better be done really well. Because after these are some of the most beloved characters in all of nerddom not even talking nerds and geeks, just people in moviedom. These characters have been through so much that to have them go out cheaply, to have them pull a Tasha Yar would just piss people the hell off.
Right. Yeah. Well, I will throw this out there, and if this happens in the movie, I'm sorry for spoiling it now, but this is another rumor that I read.
I'm going to spoil this rumor that I heard from my dog, that heard from a cat, that heard from this guy on the street down the road.
It goes in line with Kylo Ren being Han and Leia's son, is the movie ends with a confrontation and between Kylo Ren and Luke, I think is what they said. And
Luke goes the way of Obi-Wan?
No. Flip it. Han gets in between them to save his son, and he gets killed in the conflict.
Mm. I don't see Han making a really neat blue glowy.
Well, no, but he sacrifices him to save his son, and apparently, like, that's what makes Kylo Ren then go, oh, well, maybe start to question the path that he's on. You know.
Are you kidding me? If you kill your own father like that, that's completely metal. You're definitely Sith at that point. You're not going back. How could anybody come back from that? That's it. That's way past the point of no return.
Who said it was Kylo Ren that kills Han?
Oh, come on.
Right, it could be Luke.
No,
it could be both of them. They could simultaneously stab through him.
There's no accident with the Force. Wait, the Force slipped? Come on.
Yes.
These guys, you're talking about guys that can deflect laser blasts coming at you at the speed of light. No way you just, whoops, oh, we got in the middle of it. Damn it.
I am not J.J. Abrams. I don't know how he would pull it off.
Oh, you know what? It's the lens flares. It got in Luke's eye. That's what happened.
Speaking of the rumors with this trailer, another one that I had read or heard about is there's this quick scene where Rey is crying over, you know, in the snow over something, and it seems like there's leather and fur involved in what she's crying over. Some people speculate that that might be Chewie, and that maybe he dies in this too.
Mm. Well, I could see Han sacrificing himself if Chewie died earlier in the movie.
Are you kidding me? If Chewie dies, Han is going to take the Falcon and go and kill just about everything that comes near him.
Right. Well, he will land it on his enemy.
Right, but the whole thing was some people were discounting that, saying, why would she be crying over someone she just met like that? you know.
Fair enough.
Right. So, but again, we really don't know.
Right. But if it's her father, if they're judging that wrong, and maybe that is Han, and maybe that's who she's crying over.
Hold up, back up. No one said Chewie couldn't be her father.
That's true. That's true.
They both have dark. They both have like dirty blonde hair, brownish hair. You know,
yeah. I mean, well, one's definitely a dye job. Come on.
Well, yeah, when you're as old as Chewie, you got to dye your hair.
Well, she clearly has a speech impediment.
Yes. So there we go. So,
Daisy. So now that we've unpacked the entire movie, no one needs to go see it. You know, we've given you all the plot points you need.
Right, right. So leave the theater empty so we can see it in peace. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
We've established that Kylo Ren is Han Solo's son, and Rey is Chewbacca's daughter, and Finn is Lando Calrissian's son, right? Like, we're going with that? Hello?
Yeah.
And all the stormtroopers are somehow related to the same family tree, and yeah.
Yes, yeah. It's one big happy Star Wars family. That's all I'm saying. Not buying that, guys? So.
Yeah.
We'll for see. $1.
You'll buy that for $1? All right. I don't know. I think what this really comes down to is that we're just really excited to see this movie. You know, we were all alive when the originals came out. So this is, you know, if anything, these previews have captured that feeling of, you know, when the prequels were coming out and we were like, yes, new Star Wars movies. And then we were disappointed afterwards.
Until we saw them.
Right. Until we saw them.
Yes.
So we're really hoping that this time we're not disappointed.
Quick question. Hopefully. Quick question. Yeah. Okay, so Ben, where did you first see Star Wars?
Well, supposedly, according to my father, he took me to see all of them in the theater. However, I was born in 1975, so I don't remember the first one or the second one in the theater. I do remember seeing Return of the Jedi on the big screen, though. That's the first one I remember distinctly seeing.
Okay, Dave?
Well, as we discussed the last time we did a Star Wars episode, John, when it was just you and I, I distinctly remember seeing Empire Strikes Back in the theater. It was at the Neshaminy Mall? No, Oxford Valley Mall. And my father took me and my brother. They're the people I remember being there. I don't remember if anyone else was there. Because my dad used to take us to a lot of movies when we were younger. And I was, let's see, so that was 1980 that came out, Empire Strikes Back?
Oh, yeah.
So I was 6.
That was like 79 or 80, yeah.
Might have been 79.
So I was 5 or 6.
No, it's 80. Strikes Back is 80.
Okay, so I was like 6 years old when it came out. I didn't know Star Wars existed until I saw that. But I do remember coming out, and there was a bookstore across the way from the theater, because it was in the mall. And in the front of the bookstore, they had the book of the movie. It was like a picture book that had the script written in it. And so they bought that for me. And I read through it a bunch of times. And then I want to say later that year, I'm at my cousin's house, and I see the same book, but for Star Wars. It wasn't called A New Hope yet. And I was like, did they make another one of these? And my cousin's like, no, this is the first one. Empire Strikes Back's the second one. And I'm like, no, it's just Empire Strikes, like, and, you know, 5 years, 6 years old. It's logical that the first movie is called,
know any better. Yeah.
It's called Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
So
sure,
yeah.
It fits perfectly.
So it was probably shortly after that, I think we rented the movie, watched it on the VHS, and then saw, you know, Jedi in the theater. So, yeah, but definitely, yes, the first movie I saw was Empire. How about you, John?
I was 7 years old, or just about 7, when the first one came out. We went to, it was upstate Connecticut, and I don't remember where the drive-in theater was that we went. Most of those have been torn down long ago, but it was a double feature. There was a hot new movie on called Battle Beyond the Stars, and they stuck this little known, you know, unknown director, you know, kind of filler thing at the end called Star Wars. And we watched Battle Beyond the Stars. My father was, you know, he's bringing me up right. It was, you know, either it was Gamera or Godzilla or, you know, some horror movie. I saw, you know, the Thing, something like that. But I remember watching Battle Beyond the Stars, and it was an old Ford station wagon. I was laying down on the top, and the Battle Beyond the Stars was, you know, it's a sci-fi movie. These days it would be considered a barely adequate sci-fi movie of the week. But you know, when that was over, my father was I think he was like ready to go. But we decided to stick around for this other movie just, you know, cause you know, you got three kids at that point. You want to keep them busy, make them tired. So we decided to stay, and like 10 minutes into it, you knew that it was something so much different than any, I mean, until then, sci-fi movies were just like, yeah, this is just weird stuff we're going to throw on the screen. Star Wars had something else, like a soul, a heart, something that none of the others had. It also didn't have the same clip of the same spaceship flying in the same formation five or six times in a row, like Battle Beyond the Stars. But yeah, it was just really, and that was the same year that I think Superman came out too.
Yeah,
so it was a good year for movies.
Yep, it was. So I have another theory about Kylo Ren and his fate in this movie, Dave.
Oh no.
Well, so you think about
the bad guys. I know where this is going. Go ahead.
You think about all the bad guys that have been defeated in the Star Wars universe. You have, Darth Maul that you mentioned before. You have Vader. You have the Emperor. And they all have something in common. Even Obi-Wan when he went down.
Right, same thing. And what's his face in Attack of the Clones, right? Ooh, he had the cane sword. Dooku. Yeah.
All right.
And Grievous. Grievous had
Grievous. You know,
I need a drink.
They all had something in common.
Okay.
Yeah, they did have something in common. What was that? Did they all wear boots?
Well, they probably did.
Did they all have belts?
But they all wore something else that I think is considered a no-no in hero villain fashion.
Yes, ascots? Yes, that's a
problem. Ascots.
Yes, they're definitely a no-no.
Wait, they had capes.
Yes, that's it. And Kylo Ren has a cape.
Yes, and you know what?
So we know what's going to happen.
He's going to get it caught in the door. Sorry.
Yep.
So don't let your cape get caught in the door. And until next time, have a good week.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, what are you doing? Taking over Dad's mic so I can be part of superhero speak. Duh. Well, there are better ways to join the conversation. Really? Like what? Well, you can interact with them on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and even Pinterest. Wait, people use Pinterest? And what's Google+? I don't know, something to do with circles. Anyway, you can also see all their posts, including comic book videos, on their website, where you can also sign up for their mailing list. Cool! Yep, are you still going to try to hijack Dad's mic? Nope, I'm going to try to answer the Stump the Geek question. Nice. So who do you think would win in a fight between Rainbow Dash and Squirrel Girl? That's a hard one. Oh no, Dad's waking up. My freaking eyes!
Oh, what are you guys doing? That cape's going to get caught in the door.
Ow.